Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf samach. The last thing that we learned, we were in the middle of the question of how to understand the relationship of the chotemet, which is the part that is going to be used as a sealing area of the ring, to the body of the ring. The reason that we got into that issue was because we had a very problematic contradiction. Because on the one hand, we were talking about the difference for a woman of a chiyuv chatas, if she would walk out with a ring that was had a chotem in it, and the only heter that the Mishnah said was not a chiyuv chatas, was only an issur d'rabbanan, and the rabbanan had asked her because maybe she'll take it off to show it, that was referring to a real decorative ring that didn't have any sealing ring in it, didn't have a chotem. But the problem was that we had the Mishnah. And again, here we were importing ideas from Hilchas Tuma. So we had the Mishnah in Kalim, we had a Braita that expanded on it, that talked about Takshitei Nashim. And in the context of talking about Takshitei Nashim, it mentioned rings, Bein Sheyesh Aleachotam, Bein Sheino Aleachotam. So that was a little bit of a problem. And so we were trying to figure out how to get out of that. Today, Rava on line 4, says, I have a very simple explanation. You don't have to say that it's a machlokas, as we tried yesterday, to say that it depends whether we look at the material of the actual infrastructure always, or we look at the material of the thing that is doing the immediate contact, which was the machlokas that we had yesterday between the Chachamim and Nakba. But Rava says, you don't need to do that. You're jumping at conclusions. Because actually, let's start in Katani. That Mishnah was not referring to all rings that are Takshitei Nashim. We started off by bringing examples of Takshitei Nashim, and we mentioned rings. Once we mention the rings, then we say, Yesh Aleachotem, Ein Aleachotem. That doesn't mean they're all for women. So Yesh Aleachotem, that would be a Takshitei Venish. Ein Aleachotem, that would be a Takshitei Venish. What's the problem? Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, there's something wrong with your entire approach here. You are making the mistake of seeing Tuma and Shabbos as being the same sugya. Now, it's obviously true that in many of the issues that we were talking about, they really are the same sugya. But not here, because we're talking about two completely different points. Because Tuma, Shabbat, Karamita, what are we looking for in terms of Kabbalah's Tuma? Usability. We don't need to look at decorative aspects of it. So if a kli is usable, it's going to be Makabal Tuma. Obviously, the issue over here would be that it has a chotam or doesn't have a chotam. There's two different issues. One of them is usable as a business device. The other one is usable as a decoration. Either of those, anyway, would be Makabal Tuma. When it comes to Shabbos, it makes a major difference. And therefore, when it's said over here in the Braita, Bein Sheyesh Aleachotem, Bein Sheino Aleachotem, it wasn't going back to define Takshitei Nashim. It was going to define a different type of ring. By the way, when it comes to rings, is what the Braita was saying. When it comes to rings over there, of course, you have an expanded use. It doesn't only concern decorative rings. It concerns useful rings. That's all it's saying. So over there, kli maaseh omrachmana, and it's a kli, it's usable, isn't it? Shabbos, what does Shabbos have to do with that? Shabbos, the question is it a beged or a decoration, which is a type of beged? If it's a takshit, fine. If it's a chotam, then it's carrying something. As useful as it is, you can't carry it. Chotam is a masui. The next case that we had in the Mishnah was that a woman cannot go out with a machat she'ina nekuva. So if it doesn't have its sewing hole in it, she shouldn't be carrying it. But if she does, she's not chayav chatas on Shabbos. I understand exactly. What exactly would one do with a machat that does not have any use? What would she use it for? Excuse me, Gabbai. Since the Rebbe has become more of a dependent on the Gabbai, he has stopped coming to Daf Yomi. Apparently, he has appointed the Gabbai to come to Daf Yomi in his place. But coming to Daf Yomi is a mitzvah shebegufo, and I would suggest that the Gabbai walk into the Rebbe right now. There he is! There he is! Okay, I was going to suggest you pull him out of bed by his toesies, but it's okay. The Rebbe has arrived. Very good. All righty. So anyway, the next thing that we want to know is, what in the world is the use of this machat? What does she do with it? Omer of Yosef, well, she uses it to take the little bits of hair that are sticking out. She wraps it around this needle, and she sticks the needle into her hat, and that keeps her hair from flying all over the place. So she's ogeret basa'arala. Omer le Abaye, well, if that's the case, tahavi kibirit tahora v'tishteri. A birit is a garter belt. Once upon a time, before pantyhose and before the nylons were developed, women actually had to wear stockings that were not elastic, and therefore they had to be held up. Now, all of you are probably too young to remember the old garter belts. They were ridiculous kind of things that you put them around your thigh, and they had these little pieces that would come down, and they would hold up the stocking from the top. So that means that anything that's used in that fashion is considered, obviously, nobody's going to take off a garter belt on Shabbos and have their stockings fall off and carry it around and just around. That's ridiculous. So because of that, it is a kli. It's a kli that's mishamish another kli, and therefore it's tahora. That's just by the side, according to Rashi, that we're mentioning the tahora. And this is the same thing. I mean, it's a kli that's usable. She plugs it into her hat. She's obviously not going to pull it out of her hat any more than she would take off a garter belt. What's the problem of wearing this lechatchila on Shabbos? I don't understand why we would make a gezerah. You're right, says the Gemara. Ela tirgama revada narsha kamed rev Yosef. It's a different thing. This thing could be used during the week anyway to part her hair with, like sort of a comb. Okay, but what does she do with it on Shabbos? But Shabbos on my chaz, but she doesn't do that on Shabbos, does she? This is how Rashi understands. The Tosfos doesn't like this whole approach. He says, well, why can't she part her hair on Shabbos anyway? But fine, let's just take the simple approach of Rashi. And Rava says, look, it's no different than a tie pin. You know a tie pin? So this thing is a hat pin. A hat pin is dual usage, okay? It's got a little decorative thing on top, maybe a pearl, maybe a little piece of, same as tie pins. A pearl or a little piece of gold or whatever. So if you use it and you put it around the bottom for your hair, that's all very nice. But if not, you use it as a decoration. And b'shabbat menichta keneged padachta, you stick it into your hat and you wear it keneged, you're like maybe between your eyes on the side of the hat. So it's pretty. And then we get into the same situation of a decorative thing that a woman might want to show. And now we're finally ready for our Capitan. Now, it's a good thing that the Capitan has introduced this Gemara, because we are about to take a trip down the Jordan River with the Capitan. And let me just give a brief one-moment introduction to the meaning of this next piece of the perek, because otherwise it is completely batty. The issue that we've been discussing all along over here, again, throughout the Masechet, gradually, is the increasing level of awareness that's associated with the individual in terms of Shabbos, not just in terms of the Melecha Shabbos. Remember that that's an important component of Hotzah, which we understood to be the central theme of not only this Masechet, but even of the next Masechet, of Erevin, so that it's almost as if the only thing that Shabbat consists of is Hotzah. There were two elements of Hotzah, one of which is that it's central to my Sebereishis in the fact that the determination of the, I just drank, Bernard, stop, that the determination of the dimensionality is the essence of Bria. So therefore, the space-time question is entirely a Bria, major Bria Melacha. It's the beginning of all things. And Shabbos, which is clearly the space, the time orientation, has in it, therefore, as a part of the idea of Bria itself, the profound issue of Hotzah in changing spatial coordinates as well. Now, there's a deeper question, however, because as we went along and we experimented with some of the halachas of Hotzah and how it relates to Hachana, we came through Bame Behima to understand that what's part of Melechus Machsheves is the understanding of the interrelationship of a human being with the world around him, including other life forms. So that's the Lamanya Nuach Shocha V'chamorcha. And then that became all those funny Gemaras about Yalta and Marukva and so on and so forth. The extent at which we can have a theory of mind about our behema and provide it with menucha. Now that is part of what involved us, of course, with the Din of Tumas Kelim, which was also a question of consciousness and extension of human usage, because nothing can be mekabel tuma if it's a natural occurring kli, even if it's a wonderful kli, it simply would make no difference because it was not consciously designed. That idea is deeply related to Shabbos, yes. Then we went into the question when we started this perek about the relationship of a person into, so to speak, the extended phenotype. We compared it to Dawkins' idea, in which the way in which a bird is going to relate to its bower has very much to do with the way that a person is going to relate to his feathers. Now, his feathers, of course, we call them clothing and other elements of decorations, but it's basically the same idea. There was one aspect of the intellectual, I should say, the conscious interrelationship with things that is so much part of what it means to have intelligence that we have never discussed, and it is a central theme of Shabbos, and that is memory. Remember that Shabbos in its essence is Zechira, Zechor et Yom HaShabbat. We have never spoken about the function of memory in consciousness. And this is the first time that, in the strangest way, the Gemara is going to introduce how the element of memory is important in Hotza'ah as well. And in order to understand that, we need to know about a certain type of Gezeirah Derabbanan. There are Gezeirahs Derabbanan that have no meaning whatsoever except to maintain a memory. The maintenance of that memory was considered by the Rabbanan to be important for, we'll see whatever it is. We'll see a couple of examples coming up. One of the issues here that allows us to introduce the question of how memory of events could be embedded in place, which of course has to do with Hotzah, will be introduced by this Mishnah and will be part of the questions of things that we're allowed to handle or not handle on Shabbos because of the memory that it evokes. The Gemara gets into what appears to be absolutely ridiculous minutiae about questions of what kind of shoe you can wear and how many nails can be in a shoe. I mean, it's absolutely nutty. But what it turns out is that the question over here has to do with the associative aspects of memory. What does it take to evoke a circumstance and to make it part of your conscious experience? Now, we know things like smell and so on are extremely evocative. How much relationship does an event need to have with the particular thing that is going to evoke that memory? This is a major machlokas in the Gemara in Chagiga. Now, in the Gemara in Chagiga, it concerns, once again, Tuma V'Taira. Over there, the issue was that there was once a very unfortunate event, which was that people took a rowboat, they rented out a rowboat, and they carried a container of mechatas across the Jordan River to be able to use the Parah Aduma for purposes of Taira. After they arrived and had spent, I mean, God only knows what it took in those days to get some of the mayim that was Bekudish with the Parah Aduma and to transport it and to get it to where it needed to go, they discovered that there had been in this rowboat, Tumas Mace, underneath the floorboards of the boat. So it was a mafia boat, you know. After all, you get a better deal with the mafia. I mean, things haven't changed. So because of that, they ended up being unable to use the mechatas. The Rabbonin made a gezeira because of this. You cannot move the mechatas across rivers. This is nutty. Okay, so now there's a big machlokas over there. If what the intent was to preserve this event as an actual historical element in which we will take a lesson from, and we do a lot of this with mechatas, like this crazy chumras that people should realize how sensitive the issues are, legabe tuma v'tayra. This was because, again, of a whole historical issue, which was the machlokas, the tzedukim, the prushim, whether it's fuyom, is roy. It's very complicated. But the bottom line is that there's a machlokas over there. How specific does it need to be? So one shita over there says the only evocative thing would be to carry the mechatas across the Jordan River, no other river, and only in a rowboat, the same kind that was hired, and not if you're swimming or not if you're crossing the river on a bridge and so on. It needs to be a precise reconstruction. That is going to be part of our sugya today as to how precise an item has to be, based on the machlokas there in Chagiga. So that sounds very esoteric, and as I'm explaining here, I believe that the issue has to do with the internal aspect of Zechira with Shabbos as part of the nature of consciousness and the way that we relate to the world around us. Therefore, the Mishnah talks about a very strange halacha. Lo yetze ha'ish b'sandal ha'mesumar. You're not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing a type of sandal that is covered with nails on the bottom. So this is like a sport shoe kind of thing. It was made that way in order to be able to hold the lining over the wood that was used. It would put skin over the wood on the sole, and they would nail it in order to keep it that way. And it was a certain type of shoe, and it was constructed in a very interesting way. It was constructed not like a normal sandal. You could actually get your foot through the area that normally would be the toe place. You could wear it backwards, which you can't normally do on a sandal. And because of that, there turned out to be a tragedy that was associated with it, as we'll see. So you can't wear this on Shabbos. And you cannot go out wearing only one shoe on and one shoe off. Now, we'll see there's a reason. There's a machlokas, Rashi brings the Yerushalmi, and he brings his own rabbeim, that the reason, according to the Yerushalmi, is you can't wear one shoe on because people will think nobody's that stupid. He must have taken off his other shoe just because he was having pain in his foot or something, and he's carrying it. So they'll be choshed you for carrying. Rashi says the reason is because you are an idiot, and therefore everybody that sees you is going to burst out laughing. So after the first few people have left, you'll take it off, and you will put it in your pocket. So because of that, it's a chashash like all the other chashashas that we've been talking about. Maybe you'll take it off. You'll carry it Abraham as Bruce Rab. Whatever the point is, these are two completely different issues, as we'll see. Unless, of course, your foot has got a serious wound in it, where then it's obvious that there's a reason why you're wearing one shoe on and one shoe off. The Gemara is going to ask which foot, but we'll see. You can't go out wearing your tefillin. We'll see why. You can't go out wearing a kamiya for refuah, that's an amulet of some kind, if it hasn't been proven effective. So it's got to be a peer-reviewed amulet, you know. Velo b'shiryon, velo b'kazda, velo b'magapayim. These are all different types of armor or boots that are army boots, things that you would wear. Kazda, obviously, we use today as a bicycle helmet, but we're talking about over here a helmet used to protect you in war. But in all of these, im yatza, they are considered to be ultimately begodim. So even though we tell you not to, if you did, you wouldn't be chayev achatas. Now, the question, of course, is what possible meaning could there be to not going out with a sandal that has nails on the bottom? I think they called them hobnail boots, they would call her. This would be a hobnailed sandal. Why? Omar Shmuel, let me tell you. Shalfei ha-gzeirah hayu. It was a very sad story. There were people that had managed to get away. That's how Rashi learns. Shalfei is like shalaf. People that had managed to get away from the persecutions that began after. Actually, the original girsa over here was shmad. Shalfei ha-shmad hayu, that was censored to Gezerah, and because the Christians were very sensitive to Shmat. So this is referring to the period of persecutions after Bar Kokhba's failure. And these people were running away from the Romans, and they were hiding out in an underground bunker from the Nazis. So they said that whoever wants to come in is allowed to come in, but no one can leave. You can come in, sound familiar? You can come in because we assume that you're not going to come in unless you know you weren't followed, because what would be the point of trapping yourself in an underground bunker? So coming in, you can know you're not followed, but to go out, you have no idea what's going on outside. And anybody who opens the door or shows themselves is risking everybody's life here in the bunker, because if somebody traces you all of a sudden, then we're all dead. So nobody's allowed to go out. Fine. What happened was that one of these guys had come in wearing a sandal masumer that he had put on in the wrong direction. I mean, he put his foot through the toe area. So ne'apach sandalah shel echad mihem, and when they saw his footprint, they thought it looked like someone had gone out. And since there was no record of this guy, it looks as if he was captured. Ve'achshav ba'in aleinu, oh my God, we're about to be, they panicked, they went absolutely crazy. And everybody went for the emergency exits, and they killed each other. Doch kuzeb zeb, simply because of not only the normal problem where too many people try to get out of an exit, which many people suffocate and so on, but because they were all wearing these sandalim, which were very, very damaging, obviously, because they were nailed on the bottom. Horgu zed ze yoter mimash horgu behem oivim. So they ended up killing each other, and it was a disaster. Rabbi Loi ben Elazar Amir, that wasn't this. Well, actually, there are many who learned that this is a different story, and that what happened was that there were numerous tragedies during that period, all of which were similar, and that Rabbi Loi ben Elazar is reporting on another one. We'll see. There's other reports, and that it was because of the way that there were a lot of these events at the time that Chazal wanted to be careful not to reconstruct these horrible events on a Shabbos, and therefore anything that would remind people of it, they said, don't wear on Shabbos. So the Maisa that Rabbi Loi ben Elazar says, there were people in an underground bunker. They heard sound from on top of the bunker, which was caused by the same hobnailed shoe, and they thought that it was the Romans, because Romy Bar Yechezkel is another story. Everybody was in shul, and they heard some kind of sounds that came from the other side of the shul, which sounded like a bunch of soldiers in hobnailed boots, and they thought that they were about to be trapped in the shul and burnt alive, which was a favorite pastime, and as you know. So there too, anyway, when these things took place, they made a gezera, al yetzei adam besandal hamesumar. I understand, but is that because they felt that people would get hurt with the sandal hamesumar and this could happen again? I mean, if that was the case, then why didn't they just aser, or what does that have to do with Shabbos? We're saying person shouldn't go out with the sandal hamesumar on Shabbos. No, you don't understand. It wasn't that they were ossering wearing a sandal amasumar. They were making this zecher that needed to be maaseh kiyam. It was like the event, when it took place on a Shabbat. So they only ossered it on a Shabbat. Yes, Barnea?
One of the main aspects of Eretz Yisrael that the public generally does not know is this vast subterranean network of caves that we nicknamed Bar Kochba caves.
Yes.
And one of them, by Amatzia, it's 8 stories deep. And there is a room that has a mug and dubbin over this. I learned this from Master Guide Sri Besant. Right next to the entrance of the room is a secret shaft for getting in and out that we would sometimes use for getting in and out. And we tested this. We stood outside. Somebody stamped outside up on top. You heard it down in the room. It's a frightening sound. Boom, boom, boom. So we were literally in such a shul in a Bar Kochba cave. And there, by the way, there were 2 shuls in this structure, you know, marked that way, with places to sit around. It's very striking. You can actually enter this mishnah.
Wow. It's quite amazing. Okay, so ask the Gemara, if it was only on Shabbos, then why did they make it usher on Yom Tov? And yet it says, Alamatnan, why does it say in the Mishnah, the Gabi Yontev, that when it comes to Yontev, you're allowed to send things that are usable on Yontev? It doesn't matter whether you're sending material or you're sending clothing Bein Tfurim, Bein Shena Tfurim, that's usable on Yontif, so you could send it as a gift on Yontif. But you cannot send things that cannot be used, like a sandal HaMesumar, because you're not allowed to wear it on Yontif, or not an unfinished shoe, because it doesn't have any use on Yontif. Well, that's because it's loosely evocative, because the Shabbos, my time, to Ika Kenufia, Beyontav Nami Ika Kenufia, the way that people relate to the event is that it was a time in which people were coming together and they were sitting around in the shul and so on. So Yontif feels basically the same way. I understand. So then on a Tainus Tzibur where everyone comes together to shul, it should also be usur, and yet it isn't. No, no, no. It's different. The taste of the Kenufia on Yontif is similar to the case of Kenufia on Shabbos, because both of them are sitting in shul when you're not allowed to do malacha. But when you're allowed to do malacha, it does not have that Yontif Shabbos feeling. And over there, people will not relate to it in their memories. So because of that, Kenufia, the Etera Havi, there was no Gezera on a Ta'anit. And by the way, says, do not think that I'm saying this only according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. Now, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva was the one who held that lo asru ela biyardein ubisvina uchmaaseh shahaya. That the Gezera over there on transportation of the Mechatas in a boat or over the water, which according to the Chachamim was over the water, even if you walked over the water on a bridge, it would be Aser. And it was any water, not only the Yarden, where it was over there, was Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva who said, no, it needed to be on the Yarden with Captain Ritchie in a boat, exactly as it took place at that time. I'm not saying this only according to him, because this, in fact, would be true even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. So over there, he said, lo asru ela biyardein ubisvina, and as we just like the original ma'aseh, that's true. But think about it. If you had an experience on, let's say, the Mississippi River, right, you're not going to feel that you're reliving the experience on the Mississippi when you're going down the Jordan. Or when you're going down the Amazon. The whole idea is the particular location. You're not going to confuse the Yarden with another river. But Shabbos and Yontif is a recurring kind of thing where it's the experience of the Kenufia with the religiosity associated with it of not doing malacha that creates an atmosphere, and that is Shabbos and Yontif to you, and that's the same. And that would be true even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. Because over there, Hanimili, Yarden, the Yarden is a unique experience. You'll say, why is it unique? I don't know, but it's definitely, when we have an experience in a particular place, it feels like it's the Mississippi. So it's the Shiny Mishar Naharot. Masha Enkin, Yontif, and Shabbos is the same experience. Ki Adoni Ninu. So that small distinction between what kind of things are mutter to do on Shabbos and Yontif does not create enough of a distinction. So, but that question, Jeff, is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over here, really. So that depends on whether mitoch, whether we are mater mitoch. Take a look at the Tosfos on top. Okay, so because of that, we are going to aser our sandal mesumah even on Yontif. But then if that's true, then it's also true that it depends on the particular item that is the idea of a sandal mesumah. A sandal mesumah is something that is made for the nails to make it stronger by keeping the skin over the wood. And that's l'chazek. But if you just put it in to make it look nice, that would be okay, because nobody would consider that to be a sandal hamasomer. They don't look at it in the same way. So what do we mean, lenoy? So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, look, people are going to have an image in their mind of a designer shoe versus a sandal hamasomer, okay? A designer shoe would be something that would be 5 nails per shoe, and you would basically split it up, as we'll see. The Gemara is going to explain. And Rabbi Chanina says, no, designer shoe can have 7 nails. And Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Shama bar Abba, let me explain to you the design elements that we're talking about over here. What I'm talking about is that you have shtayim mikan, v'shtayim mikan, v'echad batarsiotav. What you use is basically one on one, the front end, one on the back end, and then you have the two that are on the side between your legs, which are exposed, and then you have one where the straps come out, you know, and that looks really nice. So that is clearly a design. But once you go beyond that, I don't think it looks like a design. It looks like a shoe with a lot of nails in it. So, you know, we've got some serious questions of aesthetics over here. Rabbi Hanina holds that it's not considered to be too gauche to have three on one side, three on the other side, and one batar siyota. Asks the Gemara from the Braita, sandal hanote oselo sheva divrei Rabbi Natan, Rabbi matir b'shloshesre. Now, obviously, we're going to be looking soon at the difference between a sandal hanote and a normal sandal. A sandal hanote is a sandal that is off to one side because the sole has gotten eaten away, and now it's not orthopedically very good because when you get into it, your arch bends down on the side of where it's gotten eaten away. We're pretending right now that people won't notice and that they'll think it's a regular sandal. And when Rabbi Nosson says you can use seven nails, and Rabbi was mater 13 nails and still be able to use it on Shabbos, these nails, remember, are there only to even out the area that has gotten eaten away. They are not there in order to be mechazik. So it would appear that we're expecting people to see it as a designer shoe as opposed to a sandal amasumer. And yet, nobody says five. So, I mean, according to Rabbi Hanina, I understand Rabbi Hanina is going like Rabbi Nosson. But Rabbi Yochanan does not have any Tana that says what he's saying. Here it's either 7 or 13, and he's making it 5. Yeah, but he could hold like Rabbi Noroi. The Tanya Rabbi Noroi Omer, Chamesh Mutar Vesheva Asur. Omerle Eifa L'Rabba Bar Bachana. Listen, you guys are all Tamidim Rabbi Yochanan, so you go and be makbid like Rabbi Yochanan and don't go out with more than 5 to make it a designer shoe. But we're all Tamidim of Rabbi Hanina. We're going to go like Rabbi Hanina. We'll go for 7. Boy Mine Ravuna Mirav Ashi. He, being unaware of this discussion, so he asked Rav Ashi, can I wear a shoe with 5? So Rav Ashi said to him, you can even wear a shoe with 7. So can I wear a shoe with 9? No. Even 8 would be aser. So a particular shoemaker came to Reb Ami, and he asked, what would be the din if you inserted an actual shoe inside, meaning a what do you call it, the top of the shoe, the area where you put your foot? Come on, Jeff, you got it. No, that's just the tongue, but that whole piece, the upper. There's a word for the upper. Okay, anyway, you took an upper and you put it, sewed it into, thanks, okay. So you sewed it into the bottom of the sandal. So now it's not, is it still a sandal or is it now something else? And this is part of the Gezerah. So what would be the din? Omalei, mutter. That's okay, but I'm not sure why, but I know I've seen Gedolim walking with that. Well, why? I don't know why. Says Rav Ashi, we need, you don't know why. It's obvious why. If you sewed an upper to it, so now it's a shoe. It's not a sandal. Now, b'sandal goes with b'rabbanan, b'minal lo goes with b'rabbanan. Remember, it's got to be the same. What you're doing is you're focusing on a thing with nails. It has nothing to do with a thing with nails. It has to do with a sandal, I'm assuming, because remember, the entire thing is about an event. And the event was sandal, not shoe. You turn it into a shoe, that's a completely different issue. Okay, next question. Boimine Rebaba Bar Zavda, mi Reb Abba Bar Avina. How about asa'o kemin kalabus? Suppose it was more like instead of a nail, it was a staple. So what would be the din over there? Is that similar? So it goes around, it's got two heads in it. Omerle mutter. It manam yom rebiz rebichanina. If you make it like a staple, it's mutter. Says Reb Sheshes, there's something else also. If you cover over the entire bottom, the sole, with nails, then in order that it should simply be like taps on a shoe to prevent it from getting worn away on the ground, kedei shalote karka cholato, that doesn't bear any resemblance to a sadal hamasumer, and that is clearly just there in order to preserve the leather. Tanya kavas de rupsheshes, lo yetzea ish besandala mesumar, velo yetayel mi bayit labayit, vafilo mi mita lamita. You're not allowed to wear a sandal on a summer. Forget about in Rishon LeRabim. You can't even go from one room to the other. You know what? You can't even wear it indoors from one bed to another. The only thing you could do with it is you can carry it for something. It's not considered to be the equivalent of a rock. I mean, let's say you needed to carry, put on top of a box or something to cover it. You could do that. Or you want to use it for our favorite use on Shabbos. And I guess you ran out of eggs to use to keep your bed straight, to put under your bed legs, right? So you can always use a sandal hamesumer in a pinch, you know? So that would be okay. The smoke bakurei amita. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can't use it for anything. It's mukzah, it's like a stone. And what about if most of those nails fell out and all that was left was 4 or 5? So then it would be mutter. And Rabbi says, no, even 7 are okay. And if you cover the whole thing over from underneath with leather, and then kavalo masmerot milamala, and then you covered on top, you covered it with nails to hold it in. That's also a mutter. And here it says, also kamin kalbo, so kamin tas, so kamin yatet. If you did not use nails, you used a staple, or you used like a flathead kind of thing that maybe is a little bit decorative, or you use something that doesn't have any head at all, or you cover the entire bottom with masmerot, kedei shelo te'akarkal cholato mutar. Anyway, so this braita clearly is backing the idea that if it's made there and clear for different purposes, it has nothing to do with sandal hamesumar. There's nothing magic about having nails in the shoe. Wait a minute. But what the braita said makes no sense, contradicts itself. First, it says that if most of the nails fell out, and that would mean, let's say you had 100 nails, and now you only have 49 nails, then it's mutter. And then you say, if there's only 4 or 5 nails left, understand, you said if there's 49 nails left, it's also mutter. How do you explain this? Reb Sheshes, it depends, lokasha, kanchenig mimu, kanchenekru. If they were ripped out entirely, so they were neakar, then nobody can see that this was originally covered in order to protect the bottom from the ground, and they will think that it's your version of a sandal hamesumer if you're going to leave more than 5 or 7, whatever the shita is. But if you could still, they've just gotten eaten away, you could still see the little tops of what was once a nail that they're there in the material. So everybody understands this was once a shoe that was covered with nails or taps in order to prevent it from getting eaten away on the rocks. And obviously, these on the side are still left from then. You know, they're not going to confuse it with the sandal hamesumer. By the way, what does the word 4 or 5 mean? What do you mean 4 or 5? Is it 4? Is it 5? It can't be 4 or 5. If you're telling me that I'm allowed to have 5, then why are you mentioning 4? Rav Chista, depends on the size of the sandal. 4 mi sandal katan, 5 mi sandal gadol. In other words, wherever the aesthetics of it makes it a designer shoe, that's what we're talking about. And Rebbe is matir up until 7. I thought in the Braita, Rebbe is matir up until 13. We said that before about the case where it had gotten eaten away and it was a very poor orthopedic choice. Well, obviously, that's different, isn't it? I mean, if the shoe is eaten away, then any idiot can see that basically what you've done is you've come to repair the shoe so that it's a better orthopedic device. They're not going to confuse that with a sandal hamesumer. Oh, really? Well, if you're ready to say that, you could have said that before when you asked the kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. What you should have said was that note has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Because if it's note, it's very similar to the case that we had later where you covered the entire bottom in order to prevent it from getting eaten away. And therefore, it doesn't evoke the memory of the sandal hamesumer at all. Okay, that was the answer. So, Ashla, Titochi, Rabbi Yochanan, Nami, Lokasha, Notashani. Omrav Masna, Omrav Nadha, Rabbi Bar Masna, Omrav Masna, Eina, Loch, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We don't paskin like that, like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that you can't wear it, Bichlal. We said over here that you can't go at all. You can't even move it because you're going to end up wearing it. We don't paskin like that. Well, obviously, we don't paskin like that. The rabbanon argued on him. I mean, it's a general rule. Yochid v'rabim, lochid k'rabim. Well, all of a sudden, you have to tell me that we don't paskin like that? Yeah, but you know what? Ma'od etema, mistavra time the reblozer Rebbe Shimi Baha. I mean, the whole thing over here is really a practicality. Anybody will tell you that the likelihood of your using a sandal mesumer increases exponentially with every use that you're going to make of it. Because, I mean, if the idea over here is the evocation of the memories, you've got to put it out of touch. Once it's not out of touch, I mean, you're using it for other purposes, there's no way people are going to keep in mind, I'm not supposed to wear this. I mean, what's wrong with wearing it? I mean, that was the whole point of mutzah in the first place. So maybe it's so mistaber, time at the Reb Lezer Reb Shimon, we should paskin like him. Kamashmlan, you're right, it does look like he makes sense. But remember, there are special rules that are associated with the type of gezeiros that are only there for memory purposes. And here, too, we paskin like the Chachomim. Rebbe Chiya says, I got to tell you, since I came to Eretz Yisrael, every time I give a psak lakula, everybody says, oh my God, these conservative rabbis from Bavel, you know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, so I really am very careful not to give out my psaks because of the unfortunate fact that I had learned back in the seminary in Bavel, you know. So everybody views that as being reform or conservative. So if it wouldn't be for the fact that people would call me, oh, the old Bavloi Shari Yisurei, you know, the guy who goes around being matur all the Yisurim, all of a sudden we could use our iPads on Shabbos. So I'll forget it. So because of that, I'm reluctant to give up sock. But if I tell you what I would have said, if I wouldn't be reluctant, I would have said that you can be matur much more than everybody else is being matur over here on these things. And it would still not be considered to be a sandal mesumer. How much? How much would he be matir? Well, in Pumbedisa, they say, he was ready to go for 24, man. In Sura, they say, now he was ready to go for 22. But listen, it's all undercover, you understand. And how do we remember which one was in Pumbedisa and which one was in Sura? Well, it's easy to remember. Because in order to get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, if he would have gone through Pumbedisa, he would have had to go from Pumbedisa to Sura. So on his way, two of the nails fell out. So that's easy to remember. So it started with 24. By the time he got to Sura, it was 22. By the time he got to Eretz Yisrael, he said, never mind, I'm scared. And because of that, you now know the history of the events.